The next one coming up is with Army Captain Walter A. Gunn, Jr. We've sent a couple of interviews in with this man already. He's the senior advisor, of course, for the Army Ranger Battalion. That's Arvin Ranger Battalion, rather. That's on the eastern perimeter at Quezon. Army Captain Walter A. Gunn, Jr. His wife is at 2436 Broadmoor Drive, Columbus, Georgia. That's his wife's address. He is from Greenbrier, Tennessee. The interview runs about 9 minutes, and the subject is a probe. Another probe that the Arvin Lines had and a number of NVA they killed. Here's that interview by Sergeant Jim Elliott.
Testing, testing. The following interview is with Captain Walter A. Gunn, Jr. of Greenbrier, Tennessee, the senior U.S. Army advisor to the Vietnamese 37th Ranger Battalion here at Quezon. On 29 February 1968, the Arvin Lines here were attacked by an NVA force. Captain Gunn, could you tell us about this, please?
Yes, last night, about approximately 21:30 hours, we were probed about, I would estimate, about a reinforced company at the time. Then, about 12:30 hours, we was probed again, the middle of our lines, again about a company size element. And then at 3:15 in the morning, we was also probed again, which lasted about 04:30 hours this morning. After going out later on in the day, we count the bodies, and we estimate that we was actually attacked to something about like the size of a battalion, their battalions, which are much smaller than ours. We collected something around nine automatic weapons, which is five of them was the AK-50s and four of them was the AK-47. We still have three more that's out in the minefield here forward of us. We're going to try to police up soon. We found numerous Bangalore torpedoes.
Could you describe these, sir? Bangalore torpedoes?
These Bangalore torpedoes not like what we used to, you know, they're made out of metal. These are strictly homemade jobs made out of bamboo, filled with some type of explosive, block type of explosive, which I think in equal is probably maybe a little bit more powerful than the ones we're used to.
And how do they use these, Kim?
What they do, they put them right under the wire, just the same thing we do with ours, and they set them off by electrical caps, which some of these have, and some of them are the regular fuse caps. And when they go, they blow a little gap in the wire wide enough, and maybe you can put a half a squad of people through it.
Did any of these go off last night, sir?
No, we caught them last night before. Actually, I guess they was going to place them in and blow them later. But we count the people at the wire and drove them back, you know. And searching the area out this morning, a squad went out on the patrol, you know, actually to police up weapons and actually to conduct a body count.
A squad of Arvin?
Arvin Rangers here out of the 1st Company. Once they got out there, they found out that one trench line had 31 men in it.
31 killed?
31 NVA killed, and it was online, on their knees. Looked like they was about ready to, you know, jump up and assault. And it's exactly where they died, right there in the kneeling position.
And what killed them, Captain?
Concussions from the arc light we had last night and artillery. This came about, we asked for an arc light, which I don't know if you understand, that's a B-52 raid.
Yes, sir.
And I think the concussion, being so close to them, it just killed them right there. Because they really weren't really shot up or anything. You couldn't tell where they really mangled.
Well, now, how close was this trench to your perimeter, sir?
This trench is approximately 100 meters right out from our wire. And further checking it out, we go back, say, another 75 meters, we found another 30 NVA in the same situation. And the concussion had got those. And so far, the tally we have got right now, it was a total of 71. We have actually counted bodies at the time.
Did any penetrate the perimeter, sir?
One man penetrated, and he was killed within 10 meters of the wire.
He was killed with small arms?
He was killed with small arms.
We mentioned earlier, Captain, that their battalion size force is smaller than ours. About how many men is their battalion?
Their battalions are about like the one we have right here, equal about maybe 300 to 350 men.
So you think it was a battalion-sized attack against your position?
I really do. Now, why I'm having to go on to say that, we're counting 70 bodies. So you know where you got 70 bodies, you got 100. And the arc light, after we searched the area where it's at, it's many arms and fingers and things like that, which you'll never be able to say how many people is actually was there, because after plane loads of those bombs go off in there, they mangle everything that's around there.
Captain, how long did all of this action last?
This action lasted last night from 21:30 to 04:30 this morning, and then it got quiet. Then we started receiving a little artillery rounds.
Did they have artillery supporting them, sir?
Right at first, we caught a few rounds here and then a few spastic rounds back up in the rear area from us.
What size artillery, sir?
Last night, I guess it was about a little bit smaller than our 105. And the rear areas was catching the heavier stuff, you know. Like the rockets, the 120 rockets. So
what type of artillery did you have supporting your Rangers?
Last night we had the 155, the 175s from Camp Carroll, and the 105s right behind us, and the 81s, and our own 60 millimeter mortars, which we have in each company here.
In your opinion, sir, was this a probe, or do you think they're really trying to break through with a major assault?
Well, looking it over, what they was carrying, and if you look at the weapons, and it was right amazing, because the weapons were with magazines that don't even have, it was already empty. And they was carrying blocks of TNT in the Bangalores. It looked like maybe it might be the sappers trying to get in here to blow up the command bunkers or breach a wire, let a bigger element get in.
I understand when they first discovered this one man that got inside the wire, they had monitored an NVA radio broadcast, and that's how they found out he was inside. Is this true, sir?
They came in and told me about where they'd monitored, and I also, talking to another element here on the thing, on caisson, they told me the same thing. They got this message saying that the element that was to be inside, it was inside and was waiting for further orders. And that's when I phoned back to the rear and let them know about it, and they started monitoring the radio nets, and we was really worried at the time.
But as far as you know, only one got through that you saw?
As far as we know right now. Of course, that'd be hard to say.
How long has it been since you had a probe before this, Captain, before the one last night?
It's been around approximately over 2 weeks, and this was the last one we had was a daylight probe. And that was 2 days in a row we had this, and which really didn't amount to much anything, because they was quickly driven back from the wire. They got within 50 feet of the wire, but quickly, overwhelming power of the arms we have here drove them right out of here.
Well, when you're not getting these probes, say during the daylight hours, are you harassed quite a bit by snipers from the NVA?
Oh, we have been in the past 2 or 3 days, all but today. And if you notice, you haven't heard too much out of them. But in the past 2 or 3 days, we have really been plagued with them. It was hard to walk around this place.
Are they regular snipers, or are they just firing their AKs?
A lot of them are mostly AKs. We haven't heard too many of these blowbacks, which usually the main sniper uses.
I also noticed a recordless rifle out here, NVA. When did you capture that, sir, the Arvins?
Well, that was approximately about a little over a week after we got here that they was harassing us, and they sent out the next day, and they latched onto it and brought it back.
What size is that, sir?
That's an 82-millimeter recoilless Russian type.
Are you going to take this out? Who's the senior Army officer here, sir?
The senior officer that's here now is, that's not here, well, I'll put it this way, he's not here present at the time, is Dai Wee Pho.
Who was your senior officer last night?
Here, it was Trung Wee Tuck.
Well, sir, say during a probe like this, who actually takes command over the Arvins? Do you go into your advisory capacity there? Does he make the major decisions as far as defensive return fire goes?
Everything as far as anything running the Arvin battalion is strictly up to the Arvin officer. The advisor does do nothing unless he is asked to do so.
And these weapons they captured, I believe you mentioned several AKs, and what do they do with these, sir?
They will take these back to their base camp, which back in Fulok around Da Nang, and they'll keep them in their own little thing and make a collection out of them.
And you've been an Army advisor with the Rangers?
I have been in the country now about 2 months, and I've been with them just about a month and a half.
Could you give your opinion of them, sir? Are they good soldiers, good fighting men?
Well, compared to everything I've seen or heard around here, that these are the best, and they proved it last night.
They're doing a good job.
Oh, they're doing a fine job.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us, Captain. We've been talking to Captain Walter A. Gunn, Jr. of Greenbrier, Tennessee, the senior U.S. Army advisor to the Vietnamese 37th Ranger Battalion here at Khe Sanh.
One added note to that interview, the other voice you heard on there with Sergeant Jim Elliott, with Staff Sergeant Don Willis, another correspondent.